Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Today we dive into the heart of Harrisonburg to explore a haven for book lovers, word enthusiasts, and indie supporters alike. Nestled in the loft at Liberty Street Mercantile, Parentheses Books is not just any bookstore. It's a celebration of all things literary, owned by the wonderful Amanda. Parentheses Books is more than a store. It's a cozy literary embrace offering everything from audiobooks to exclusive events and a delightful collection of merchandise. Whether you're hunting for your next page turner, a perfect gift, or simply want to bask in the warmth of bookish camaraderie, Parentheses has got you covered. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and join us as we turn the page on today's interview with Amanda, the mastermind behind this charming literary nook. Welcome to the show, Amanda. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is so exciting. Actually, one of our shared friends, Jaron Baker.
Yes,
is how we got connected.
It is. Yes. It's so, those connections are so cool. I love them.
I know. I love that part about Harrison.
I know. Me too.
So because of him, thank you, Jaron.
Thank you, Jaron.
We are here today, and I adore this store, by the way.
Thank you.
And I have been wondering what is the story behind it? What is the story behind the person that has brought this to our community? And I'm thankful for this opportunity to find out today and share it with our laughers. Okay. So let's get into it, laughers. My first question is, what inspired you to open this bookstore, and how did you choose the name?
Well, a lot of people ask me, they say this must be a dream come true for you to open a bookstore. And it actually is turning out to be, but it wasn't like I always dreamed of opening a bookstore. Mm. I worked in a small bookstore in New York City for a long time, and I enjoyed working there. I was in my 20s. It was before I had kids. It was amazing for lots of reasons. And then I moved here. I had two boys. I wasn't working outside the home. And then at some point, they got older, and I wanted to get a job. Mm. And I thought, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I knew that I loved books, and I knew a little bit about the book business from working in the bookstore. And I thought, why doesn't Harrisonburg have an independent bookstore like this? Yeah. And I was wondering if I could make that happen. And so I thought I'd try.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when all of that pondering was happening, to the actual day of opening, what is the rough timeline of that? This is several months?
Gosh. No, years.
Years, okay.
I would say I started to think about the idea of opening a bookstore the winter after COVID started.
Okay, so that's fall 2020, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All 2020. Very Midwestern there.
And those years are all very blurry because of COVID and because I was planning the bookstore. And so I think it was around then.
It's blurry for all of us. We're all like,
so it took a few years because I didn't open the store until end of October of last year. So
this coming fall will be your first year anniversary.
Yes.
What?
October 25th. I know. That seems crazy too.
That does.
It does.
Are you doing anything cool or having a party?
I've been thinking about it. I want to.
Okay.
If people have suggestions, let me know.
Let her know in the comments if you're looking at this on YouTube, and if you're listening to it wherever, DM the Funny Womax or DM Parentheses Books even better and give her the idea.
That would be some ideas.
Yeah, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Hey, laughers, Tisha here. You know what goes great with this podcast? Free Popsters Gourmet Popcorn. We're so excited to sponsor this podcast, highlighting some of the most wonderful people in the Shenandoah Valley. To show our love for you, laughers, we're giving you 15% off today at prepopsters.com. That's PrePopsterous.com. Use promo code LAUGH15.
As a woman-owned business, what do you feel are the unique perspectives or challenges you have encountered in the indie bookstore business?
Oh, gosh. Well, I have to say that the indie bookstore business itself is very woman-friendly. There are a lot of women in the business.
Yeah.
And independent bookstores are so supportive of each other. I mean, mm-hmm. when I was planning the store, I talked to many bookstore owners. They were all very willing to help me and to answer all my questions. So it's a very supportive environment. I would say as a woman, I don't know. I haven't had any challenges as a woman per se, but it's a challenge to be a mother.
Mm.
You know, not all women are mothers, but being right. a mother is a challenge. But honestly, I've never had a full-time job like this. Okay. And when I worked at the bookstore in New York City, it was a part-time job. I did some freelance writing on the side. I've had some part-time jobs since I moved here. But this is an all-consuming job. Mm-hmm. And so I've never had that experience before. And so many women do it. And I'm in awe of women who just have these careers. And it's so hard.
So you're talking more specifically about balancing yes. your work with motherhood.
Yeah.
Wow. What would you, that affects a lot of women out there mm-hmm. too. Or they even remember growing up with a career. Right. A mother. So what would you think you've learned that's really been impactful and helpful for you to balance both motherhood mm-hmm. and running a bookstore?
Yeah. I think there are two sort of parts of it. One is that I like to include my boys in mm. the store, and luckily I'm in an environment where they can come and hang out here, and you know, not everyone has that luxury to bring their kids to their job. So that's been good for mm-hmm. me to do that. But then also I had to learn at some point that things that weren't getting done at the store that I didn't finish, I didn't have to do them at home.
Mm.
And I didn't have to, I mean, it's all consuming to open a business and to run one.
Mm-hmm.
But there were things that I could wait until the next day, and I could pay attention to my family when I was at home.
That's so key, isn't it, Amanda and mm-hmm. laughers, to learn how to create healthy boundaries with
right.
your work and your personal life.
Yeah.
I've had to learn how to do that. I feel like I'm always learning. I've never arrived.
It's that's what I feel like. It's a practice. It's like yeah. I practice yoga too. And it's, you know, they say in yoga, it's a practice. So you keep doing it.
Yeah, cultivating, yeah. get better at it eventually, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Now, this bookstore is described as the literary equivalent of a hug.
Mm-hmm.
I loved reading that. That's really, I never really heard that expression before, but I certainly love it a lot. Can you tell us more about the atmosphere and the community you've cultivated here?
I wanted to create a place where everyone feels comfortable. Like they walk in and they, you know, breathe a sigh of relief that they're in here.
It does have a Zen vibe. I can see your yoga influence on this.
I wanted it to feel comfortable and homey, and bookstores are about the books, sure, but they're also about connecting with people. Mm. And I always say they're more than just stores that sell books. They're community places for people to gather and to connect with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted it to feel like a hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just to feel good when people are in here.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're in the Liberty Street Mercantile building. So you're
yes.
not the only store
no.
in here. Tell us about some of your neighbors briefly.
Oh, I love my neighbors. It's so fun to be in this building. It's so great. Well, there's Abby, who you know, Abby yeah. Chick, Blakemore's Flowers.
Who's been on the podcast also when yes. we were audio only. We'll have her back sometime. Yeah.
And then Laura Reiner owns Living Room Collective, which is across the hall this way. And Jenna Couchy owns Estelia May Boutique, the children's boutique down mm-hmm. the hallway. And there's Chestnut Ridge Coffee Roasters down in the basement. And then there's a new store opening in the basement called Dryad Cookery. So they're going to have some nice high-end cookware.
Oh.
They're opening soon.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe this Friday.
Right.
Yeah.
And laughers, if you've never been in the Liberty Street Mercantile Building where this lovely bookstore is housed, it's across the street from Magpie Diner on the northeast part of town here in downtown Harrisonburg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great environment.
Yeah,
this,
it is.
Like, I think sometimes if I had opened a store downtown and was just in a storefront by myself, it would have been a much more isolating experience. So it's been so nice to have these other women and businesses around as support.
I was going to say, I bet that creates a great sense of empowerment and sense of community that you're not alone in doing this.
Right.
You're in it together.
It does. Yeah. Uh-huh. Which I think downtown businesses, there's that sense in general.
Yeah, I think so
too. But just being a new business in town, you know, just it was helpful that, you know, Jenna and Laura have new businesses too. Abby's has established business, and that's been helpful because she's can answer questions about
lots of things. Yeah.
So, it's been a great experience.
Yeah, I love all these books. It's really nice. I'm getting distracted again by the environment.
It's nice to be surrounded by books, right? That's part of the hug.
Yeah, that is part of the hug.
Yeah.
Can you share some insights on the range of books as well, looking at all of them and the merchandise you have to offer?
I like to think we have a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really want to specialize in any one thing, but honestly, we kind of specialize in things that I like. because I'm the one buying the books, but I love the idea that someone could come in here and find something that they weren't looking for. Some people ask me why we don't have signs for the sections.
Oh, that's
because we have lots of different sections in here. And I find when I go into a bookstore, I'm likely to skip a section that I don't think I'm interested in. But there might be books in that section that I would like if I happened upon them. So without signs, which also I think it's aesthetically pleasing to not have signs, but I mean, they can be done in a nice way, but I think you're more likely to happen upon something that you might not have found because you just kind of look around everywhere. And so there's some fiction, there's nonfiction, there's cookbooks. We have some art books and crafting things. I love crafting. We have a whole big, huge children's section because I love children's books, and I loved reading to my boys. I still love reading to them if they're willing to listen. And so we have a lot of kids' books ranging in, you know, everything YA down to board books for babies and nonfiction. And what else do we have in here? I like memoirs and essays. And and we also have just some. We have some stationery products. There's some pens behind you. I love that stuff too.
Oh, yeah, there are.
Yeah.
Thanks for pointing
out. So there's a little bit of everything, I think.
I think so too. What are some of your personal favorites?
Specific books are favorites or kinds of books?
I actually would like to know both. Like your genres are your favorites.
I love mysteries. I've always loved mysteries. I'm a huge Agatha Christie fan.
Ah, very good. Yes.
What else? I love memoirs. Good. There's nothing like a good memoir, well-written memoir. Maggie Smith wrote a memoir recently called You Could Make This Place Beautiful. I think that's what it's called.
Who is Maggie Smith? She's
a poet. Okay. I don't know if she's that well-known.
All right.
But poets write really good memoirs.
That's a great writer.
Good tip for people. read a memoir written by a poet. What else? My husband just published a book.
Yes.
Called The Bookshop, A History of the American Bookstore. And that's a recent favorite. Sorry, excuse me.
That's all right.
What else? We get books in all the time that I've already ordered them. I saw them in a catalog and they come in. It's so exciting. I mean, I know that they were coming, but it's so exciting to see them. And you know, there's one book. I'm blanking on the name. I think it's called The Word of Love that came in recently.
Mm.
And it's the sweetest book. It's this little girl and her dog, which I think is a dachshund, is talking to her, and she has all these questions and he's answering her questions, and it has these sweet illustrations that kind of Emma, who worked with me, I think it was Emma or maybe Michaela, one of them was saying that it reminded them of Winnie the Pooh, the illustrations in Winnie the Pooh.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so I love those kind of one-off sweet books that you just don't see other places.
I love that too. I like to imagine that I can have conversations with my puppies.
I know.
I really wish.
Me too.
Sometimes
with my cat. Yeah. I know.
I know it'd be really weird.
I think it'd be great.
If they actually started talking, you would really wonder what was happening. But I do. I was just talking to my little puppy about that this morning. She's looking so cute. I wish I could have a conversation with you. You're adorable.
I know. Right? What would they say? They could talk.
Yeah. And now your husband, you mentioned, has written a book. Is this his first book?
It's his third book.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a professor of history at JMU.
And
his first two books were with academic presses, but this is his first trade publication. So it's reaching a wider range of readers.
That's very exciting. So you guys met in college, or?
We met when we were 10.
Okay. That was not expected.
Yes.
All right. On a playground, what is happening?
We met through a mutual friend, I guess, when we were 10 in fourth grade. Okay. And we became friends all through middle school and high school. And essentially, we were very, very good friends by high school. And we decided that we would get married someday. But we didn't really date then. It was weird.
Okay.
We started dating when I left for college. We both left for college. We went to two different colleges. But we started dating long distance freshman year of college.
Okay. And then ended up in New York City. How did that happen?
Evan was going to NYU for his master's.
Then
he got his PhD at CUNY Grad Center. So that's why we were there.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you from here?
We're from Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You were talking about you grew up in Maryland before we started recording.
Yeah. I was actually born in Northern Virginia. And Evan was born in Staten Island, New York. And both of our families, I was eight, he was younger, I think, ended up in Columbia.
Oh, and my husband and I met in Baltimore.
Oh, nice.
He lived for a while in Columbia, Maryland, so I'm somewhat familiar.
Yeah.
We got more connections than we thought, laughers. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to have an event for Evan, I think.
We had this past weekend, we had a launch party for the book, and that was amazing.
Yeah?
So many people were in here. So many people came out for that. It was amazing.
What is a book? I don't think I've ever been to a book launch. So what is that like?
It's just a party. I mean, Evan said a few words and read a little bit from the book. But not, I mean, it was mostly just a party and people could buy books and have him sign them.
And celebrate that it's out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Celebration.
All right. And the other events you have here are coming up. Can you talk about some of those?
We're having another book launch August 24th for a poet named Leona Sevick. Mm-hmm. That'll be nice. She'll be in conversation with Lauren Elaine from Furious Flower.
Oh, Furious Flower. That's a poetry center.
Yes.
That's on the JMU's campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's coming up on Saturday, August 24th at 4. Mm-hmm. We have some other events coming up this fall that I'll be putting out some words about that, but I don't have them all set yet. And we have a book club that we do, and we're doing a third Thursday quarterly book club. So it's the third Thursday of the month, but only once every quarter.
My book people. I love
not
them.
Not to overwhelm people with reading books. I've never been in a book club.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that
That's unusual,
ironic?
I think.
I know.
I've been in a few book clubs.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of pressure to me to read the book and to not be able to choose it myself, which, you know, I very much, you know, I love reading, but the idea that someone's like telling me a book to read, what if I don't like it? If I don't like a book, I don't finish it.
Yeah, I've had to learn to just let that go.
Yeah.
If I get into it and I'm not feeling it, it's okay.
Right. There are too many books.
Yeah.
You may as well go find one that you love.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. This book club, is it a group decision? Because oftentimes in book clubs, it's a group decision.
Oftentimes it is, but I don't think so. I struggle with this a little bit because one of the reasons I was willing to be involved with the book club here is that if I pick the book, then it gets rid of my problem of having to read a book that someone else picked. But then with the last book club, there was some talk at the book club. So we've had one meeting so far. Okay. And there was some talk about, oh, like, are we going to all pick the book? But I'm not sure that's how it usually is done at bookstores. Mm. I think the bookstore picks the book.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be like tyrannical about it.
I don't think anyone's fearful of that, Amanda.
Hopefully not. I don't want to be like, we must read this book. I try to pick good ones. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so, I can't wait. I'm going to have to maybe check that out.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Come on by.
I would love to. How do you see the role of independent bookstores evolving in today's digital age, especially with the popularity of the audiobooks and online shopping?
Yeah. Well, audiobooks are confusing to me. I don't listen to them personally. We do have, so parentheses is associated with Libro.fm, where you can, I don't know if people know about bookshop.org, but it's similar to what bookshop.org does, where you can choose parentheses before you check out and buy your audiobook. And then we get a cut of that sale. So, I mean, I don't know. I tend to think that independent bookstores and bookstores in general are so much more needed now in this digital age.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Because we can't just keep going. I don't think we can. I don't think we can keep going down this digital road forever. I mean, I think at some point we know and we feel as humans that we need to connect with other humans and we need to go somewhere and touch things. So, I mean, I know it's always been true for me, which is sort of why I don't like audiobooks. I like to hold the book.
I'm a big fan
and
of the
I love to be
book.
Read yeah. to, but mm-hmm. also if you're read to, usually the person is there with you reading to you. So that's another connection that you're, so in audiobook, there's a distance there. I think it's important that we have spaces like this where we can come and be with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the more we go down this digital
path,
yeah, the more necessary it is for us to have these spaces to give us a brain break, as they say.
Yeah, there's a lot of research out there, actually, that shows and illustrates the importance of human connection.
Yeah.
For our survival, we need human connection.
Yeah.
In fact, that's why solitary confinement can drive people stir crazy. Is a lack of human connection. Mm. And we could, that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, that's
but
a whole. but
you feel it, laughers, right? The human connection is so important. I was only familiar with Audible. I did not know about.
Yeah, Libro.fm.
I did not. So what is the difference between Audible and Libro.fm?
I think I'm not 100% positive about this, but I think Libro.fm is geared toward independent bookstores.
Okay.
So if you want to support, and you don't necessarily have to support parentheses, but if you're looking to support an independent bookstore but still listen to audiobooks, Libro.fm.
That leads into another question. I'm a very curious human. What is the major difference between an independent bookstore versus Barnes & Noble, for example?
The major technical difference?
Yeah,
technically, it's, you know, size. I would think, you know, like Barnes & Nobles are everywhere.
Like a chain.
There's only one parentheses. Yeah. I think practically, it's the experience that the customer has when they walk in.
I see what you're saying.
And it's also size of the space as well. I mean, there are some independents that are very big space wise.
Right.
But I think it's the experience. I mean, you're going to get a different experience walking into parentheses than you are at Barnes & Noble. And I like Barnes & Noble.
I do too.
And Barnes & Noble, you know,
big fan.
Serves its purpose. And it brings books to people in places that don't have any independent bookstores, which is great.
That's true too.
Yeah. So, I would just say the experience that you have when you're in the store.
Yeah. And you do have those audiobooks available and you offer a membership through Libro.
I don't know if it's the membership is through Libro.fm, just like you'd have a membership at Audible. I think. I don't know. I don't read. Listen to audiobooks.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how it works. But I think the membership is similar to Audible.
Okay. All right. That's great. What role do you see this bookstore playing in the local Harrisonburg community? And how are you engaging with local authors of that nature?
I mean, I think that it's the what I was hoping would happen is already happening, which is that people are coming in again, you know, and they're making this a place where they feel, my husband would describe it as a third space. No, I'm saying that wrong. Okay, sorry,
Evan.
I think I'm getting that wrong. I think it's a third space. You know, like a coffee shop.
Like
it's not your home, it's not your work, but it's somewhere in the community that you would go and be with other people in the community. And I already have so many customers that I've gotten to know personally, which is, that's what I wanted to happen. Not just for me, but for the community. I want people to come in and feel like they are part of the store, and that the store is part of Harrisonburg in a way that you know, some places might not be. I want people in Harrisonburg to experience some of what I experienced working at the store where I worked in New York, and of course I worked there, so I was on that side of it, and I work here, but I've been to so many bookstores, and they're places where you want to talk to people about books, and I love overhearing customers who come in and they're talking to each other about books, and then there'll be like a person that they don't know, and that person will say, "Oh, what did you say about that book? I was thinking about reading that." And there's connections even in that just simple way that happened in the store
with strangers.
Yeah,
they become friends.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this store in New York City. Can you say the name?
Three Lives and Company.
Three Lives and Company. Spelled like it sounds.
Yes. Know, three Lives and Company. Yep.
People I find that are in the literary industry will do spins on spellings and things like
try
that.
To be so it's clever. Double checking.
Yes. Yeah. Trying to be clever. And it works lots of times because they are.
I know.
Yes. So there's that.
Very clever.
Yeah. I would like to talk about that experience. It sounds like that experience has had a huge influence on what you've created here.
Yeah.
So talk about what influences from New York City we are now seeing in your store here in Harrisonburg.
Well, a lot of the aesthetic, I would say, is from there. I mean, that store also didn't have signs for the sections, and it also created an atmosphere. The owner of the store there used to tell us, if there are no signs, and people are going to ask you if they're looking for something, as you know, they're going to ask the people who work there, and then that creates a conversation, you know, and then you can, and that's what it's about. It's about the connecting with people. So aesthetically, there's some of that store here. And also just the feeling, you know, I've hired Michaela and Emma to work here with me, and I want them to feel working here like I felt working at Three Lives, which like, I can't believe I get to work here. You know, and I can't believe this is my life.
That's great.
So, when I worked at Three Lives, I became friends with customers that would come in all the time. And there were some customers who came in almost every day. And sometimes they bought books, sometimes they didn't, but it wasn't really about that so much. It was just about, connecting with them. So, and I've started to experience that here, and I'm very happy about it.
You know, this bookstore vibe you're describing does feel like the coffee shop vibe.
Yeah. It's a similar type of space.
Oh, yeah.
Just books instead of coffee.
Yeah. That's why they put the Starbucks in the Barnes & Noble.
They kind of go together.
And the store downstairs, we're having roasters.
Chestnut Ridge.
Chestnut Ridge Roasters is downstairs. So yes, you can do that here too.
Exactly.
Can you walk in the store with coffee?
Yeah, sure.
There you go, laughers.
And try not to spill it. But I'm all about browsing with a cup of coffee. That sounds lovely.
Yeah. Are you still friends with the folks that you created friendships with in New York City? And what do they think about all of this?
Oh, they're very excited about it for me. Yeah. And Toby, the owner of that store, was more than helpful in me opening this store. I mean, just to have someone to talk to about, you know, technical stuff and, you know, how do you pay an employee? And I mean, I never opened a business before. Mm-hmm. So there were things that just, you know, just on a business level.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and he's very connected in the book world. So he, you know, it was just, it's good to have a person to talk to who's, you know, knows about things.
Has Toby been down here yet?
He hasn't yet. No.
Toby, you must come down here.
Come on down.
And see this lovely bookstore that you have a huge influence on.
I hope that Toby will like it.
I think he's going to be pleased, yeah, Amanda. So. I'm pretty excited about that. I want to know when he's coming. I'd love to meet that man.
Okay, I'll let you know.
Maybe we'll do a guest spot with him.
Okay.
People from here travel to New York City, Toby, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. I tell people all the time if I know they're going to New York City, I say go to Three Lives and Company.
Yeah, where is that located up there?
It's in the Village, the West Village.
Okay.
West 10th and Waverly.
All right. I'm going to check it out too next time definitely. I go. That'll be great.
It's charming.
Yeah. How long did you work there?
8 years.
Okay. I see it. So a lot of our past lives on this planet in this lifetime have a lot to do with where we are in the present.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Working there had a huge impact on me as a person and certainly was a huge reason that I opened the store.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just wanting to bring the feeling of that store to Harrisonburg, to have people here experience having a local bookshop like that.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm gonna have to. I've been in here before and seen all these lovely books, and I'm gonna be doing that right after this too. Anyway, but we're gonna stay focused on this. All right,
focused.
All right. Tell us about you did the book club. What are some of the upcoming events? You've talked about that, but projects you're most excited about in the coming months?
Projects? What do you mean by projects?
Do you have any literary works yourself you are doing or authors that are coming together to do some collective work?
No, but that sounds
work?
Interesting.
Right?
That sounds like a good idea. I don't have I'm still just trying to get a hold on the running the bookstore. it's starting to get into a groove. It's difficult. I was talking to Abby about this actually. It's difficult. There's so many ideas floating around my head and hers too. And it's so hard to implement. And we were talking about work-life balance. Mm-hmm. I mean, to implement anything is like, oh, I have this idea, but let me actually do it.
A lot of work involved.
It's a lot of work. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true.
For anything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even opening the store. I think a lot of people think about opening bookstores or dream of that or, you know. And I don't think of myself as particularly special. I just did it.
It's the Nike just do it is a for real
exactly.
motto.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What would you say was the most challenging part of opening up this bookstore for you?
Raising the money that I needed. I didn't have any of my own money to use to open the store. Thankfully, bookstores are pretty low overhead. I mean, it's not that complicated to open one, but you do need, you know, a fair amount of money that I didn't have of my own to contribute. And I didn't necessarily, and my husband didn't either, want to, you know, get a bank loan and put my house up for collateral. And yeah. So, and it's a risky thing opening a business. You don't know how it's going to go.
Mm.
So I ended up with doing a Kickstarter campaign, which was amazing. Worked out in the end.
I want to talk about that too, because there are probably laughers out there thinking about opening up a business. They have those ideas floating in their head.
Yeah, lots of ideas floating around.
Right?
Yeah.
And they maybe a Kickstarter campaign may be something they've heard of, but they don't know a lot about it. Can you walk us through what that means? Just tell us what a Kickstarter campaign is and what do the individuals who give to the Kickstarter campaign get out of it?
Well, it's crowdfunding, and there are other sites that do it. There's Indiegogo is one, and there are some others, and they have, you know, slight differences among them. But essentially, you put out there your idea, your business, your product, mm-hmm. and you say, this is what I want to do, and I'm trying to raise money, and you choose an amount that you're raising. And with Kickstarter in particular, if you don't raise that amount of money, the people who have donated don't pay. So they put in their credit card, but it doesn't actually go to you unless you reach your goal. There are other sites that I think Indiegogo is one of them, where if you don't reach your goal, you get whatever money you've raised.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like from the perspective of someone contributing money, I mean, I knew that I needed this amount of money to open the store. And if I didn't want people to give me money if I couldn't open the store, then I would just have their money for nothing.
For what?
Right, exactly. And I wanted them to feel like, you know, I'm helping make this store a reality. So there are rewards mm-hmm. that you donate and you choose a reward. So I had some things like an exclusive tote bag design, and I had a t-shirt, and one of my rewards was a curated reading list. So the person would tell me what they like to read, and I would give them a list of books that I thought they might like. So I ended up raising a little over $50,000.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did it take long?
It was a month. It took a month. You can choose the time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Thank you to all who supported her.
Thank you so much. You choose the amount of time that you want to do the campaign, and Kickstarter walks you through everything and gives you suggestions. And I think that on one of their pages, it says that the most successful campaigns are 30 days. So I just went with that.
Okay. He went for it. Yeah. And it happened.
And it happened. Thanks to all the people who contributed. I mean, honestly, this bookstore would not exist without all of you who contributed. So thank you.
And that's a contribution to our community.
Right. Yes.
As well.
Yes.
To bring something we didn't have here before.
Right.
Pretty remarkable people, you donators.
Yeah.
Remarkable. And supporters. For those visiting Harrisonburg, what makes Parentheses Books a must-visit destination?
Oh, well, it's the only bookstore in town like it.
That's true.
It's right across from Magpie, and if you have a long wait, you just hop on over while you're waiting. That's an advantage. I mean, I think there are lots of people. I know that I'm one of them. I don't think I'm the only one who seek out bookstores wherever they go. So the fact that Harrisonburg didn't have one before, it's pretty surprising just based on, you know, there's a lot of people here who I thought you'd think would be interested. And I've had people come in that say that they're traveling down 81 from somewhere north to somewhere south, and they needed a place to stop, and they look for bookstores. They're Googling, where can I go to a bookstore?
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Seeing
so I think it's
travelers.
Bringing people to town.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
Sure.
It's a charming downtown around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been so good. I think it's really, you're welcome. I think it's really good now to share with people how they can stay in touch with Parentheses Books on social media or otherwise.
Yeah. Well, we're on Instagram, parentheses.books on Instagram. And you can go to our website, which is parenthesesbooks.com. And on our Instagram, there's a link in our bio to subscribe to our Substack email newsletter.
Substack. Is there something special about Substacks? Why do I not
Substack,
know this?
I chose to do Substack for the email newsletter because it was free, I think.
Oh, I see.
It was free. I don't know. That's
so this
just,
is like a free Constant Contact kind of thing, or MailChimp version.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And I was trying to figure out how, you know, it's very, bookstores are low margin businesses. Mm. And I was trying to open the store and do things sort of in a way that was very budget friendly, but still, you know,
effective.
And so that was what I came up with.
Okay.
Substack.
Yeah. So we can keep up with you on your social media.
Yep.
and okay. website.
Yes.
And the newsletter.
Yes.
Excellent.
Or you can just come in.
Even better, laughers. Just come right in here.
Come in.
That's what we want you to do. And we invite you to do that as soon as you possibly can. And if you've been here, come again. Right, Amanda?
Yes. Come on back.
That's right.
We'd love to have you.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining us today, Amanda, and talking with us about all things parentheses books. It's been a joy spending time with you today, and thanks again for coming on the show.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. And laughers, to get more information about all they have to offer, please visit their website at parenthesesbooks.com. That's parenthesesbooks.com. Also, laughers, thank you for tuning in today and spending your time with us. Please give this podcast a like, share, and tell your friends about it. It's available anywhere you listen to podcasts and now also on YouTube with the video version. And you can like The Funny Womax and find all the podcast episodes right there along with this one. Also, don't forget that discount on Prepopstress using promo code LAUGH15. That way you can save 15% when you buy delicious, absurdly flavorful gourmet popcorn from them. And that the website for them is prepopstress.com. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by The Funny Womax and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomax.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.